You're listening to the Fantasy Wildcard Podcast.
Good evening. Welcome to the Fantasy Wildcard Dynasty Show. I'm your host, Kev. You can follow me on X at the Dynasty Mind. You can see I'm the only one from the Wildcard team on tonight, the best one from the Fantasy Wildcard team tonight. So before we get on to our amazing guest and our amazing show tonight, just have a quick word about Mags and Elif. Obviously, Mags is keeping it real with all the fame and hype he got from being on Scottish TV recently. So he's not doing Scottish TV. He's doing some wedding stuff tonight. But Ali's not here as well because he was feeding the pony at a farm and he's not reacted too well to that. So he's a bit under the weather. But enough about those guys. We've got the best one from Fantasy Wildcard. We've got the best one from the Dynasty Rewind as well. So I'll bring in tonight's amazing guest, the host of the Dynasty Rewind. He's the best Philadelphia fan we've ever had on the show. We give a warm wildcard welcome, a warm wildcard return to Mike Bauer, who you can follow on X at Rewind CEO. Mike, good afternoon. How are you doing, buddy?
Kev, hello again. Am I the only Philadelphia fan you've had on by chance?
I mean, I'm counting myself a little bit. So low bar, but fully exceeded it.
I excel at low bars. Thank you for having me back. Excited to be here. Excited for the draft to get here. Just, you know, we were talking pre-show. Want to really hone everything in, get some landing spots going. Plus, the draft is just fun. I plan on taking a little bit of time off work. The crew is going to get together. So if you follow us, we're going to be having some live streams going Friday morning. Well, for all of you European Union listeners or UK listeners over there, I know there was Brexit, whatever. I guess you guys are 5 hours ahead. So that'll be like mid-afternoon if you could throw it on while you're still at work or whatever. Get some draft talk. We're doing a live stream Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. So it's going to be fun.
Brilliant. That sounds absolutely awesome. Yeah, I think like you guys, I'm taking the Friday off work because it's obviously very early in the morning.
That's going to be interesting to see how you guys over there navigate that with the time difference and everything. I give all of the NFL fans across the ocean there, across the pond, as you call it. I give you guys a lot of credit for staying up late. Or I guess if it's 1 o'clock Eastern games, it's on for 6 o'clock for you guys. It's not too bad. A nice little dinner time game, which I like, you know, for me would be like a 4 o'clock game. Yeah, I like that. But credit to you guys for staying up late to watch a football game.
Yeah, I know some savages as well that with the draft day, they watch the draft and it's 5 a.m. in the morning when it finishes, and then they go to work at 7 in the morning. So I'm not doing that this year, but I know of people that will be doing that, and
that's crazy.
They're a lot tougher than me. But yeah, we've got a great show tonight. We're finally getting round to the wide receivers. We've done the QBs, running backs, tight ends. We're coming to look at the rookie wide receivers in a little bit more depth. And yeah, it is a really interesting class at wide receiver. Before we get into some of the individual names, Mike, I just want to get your thoughts on how you view the overall class in terms of sort of how good is it at the top, how good is it later on, how does it stack up versus other classes?
I love this wide receiver class. I love it, not just a little bit, I love it a lot. And of course, obviously, it's still early and we don't have landing spots yet, like we had talked about. But right now, on paper, even as prospects, comparing this to last year's class, I prefer it significantly. I mean, we have a lot of players at the top end like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers. And even later on, guys like Malik Washington from Virginia is a good sleeper. Javon Baker, guys like that. There's really, really solid players. And I think there's going to be good, solid players in every single round because, of course, you know, wide receivers are going to get dropped down, people drafting tight ends, running backs, quarterbacks, whatever. But there's a lot of great guys out there, a lot of great potential. Just hoping for good landing spots. I know we don't always get the landing spots that we like. And like I like to tell people too, beware of the good offense bump. Like the Chiefs is always a good offense bump. Remember when Mecole Hardman was drafted by the Chiefs? And then everyone went crazy, and he's really just not panned out. You know, we saw a lot of people burning late first, in some cases early second picks to get him. So just beware. Beware.
Definitely. I think, obviously, you mentioned name there, Malik Washington, which we was talking pre-show and about like the Eagles, and we promise we're not going to make this an Eagles show because you've got two Eagles fans on, and we could go off on that tangent. But yeah, as a wide receiver for the Eagles, that'd be unbelievable, and he's someone that I've got super high as well. So so yeah, really interesting class. I think you've made some great points in the fact that he's so good at the top end, but there's guys later on as well that are going to be really exciting once we get those final two bits of information, the draft capital and landing spot, which is just around the corner. So we're going to get into the players themselves, and we're going to bring up the first prospect. This is a guy that it's hard to believe we're less than 2 weeks before the NFL draft, and this is the first show we're actually going to mention him. But I think that's probably tells you a lot about how solid he is and how he's viewed in the community. There's not too many hosts picking him. We're going to come to Marvin Harrison Jr.
You know, we're talking about landing spots, and I don't know about you, but I don't think there is such a thing as a bad landing spot for a player like Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that if he went somewhere with even a questionable quarterback situation, he's good enough to elevate the play of the quarterback and make himself fantasy relevant. I think if he went to a situation where he had a bunch of good quality NFL receivers in front of him, he's good enough to still get on the field and show everybody what he could do. But the fact of the matter is, when you're looking at weaknesses in Marvin Harrison Jr.'s game, I'm looking at my scouting report. There's nothing on here that's a glaring weakness at all. He's physical. He's a great route runner. He's great body control. His hands are fantastic. If you don't know by now, his father is Marvin Harrison Sr., who, Kev, I don't know how old you are, but I got the pleasure of seeing Marvin Harrison Sr. play. He's as good as his dad was, but better. I think he's bigger. He's more physical than his father was. And one thing that I like too, great ball security, which is an issue with some players in this class, notably Caleb Williams, 33 fumbles in 3 years. Not great. There's nothing that Marvin Harrison Jr. can't do. He could be a wide receiver one on a team within a year. He could push to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver very, very early in his career. So I know the consensus, and what's your main format here again? I'm sorry, one quarterback or super flex? What do you guys prefer?
Super flex all the way.
Love what I'm hearing. A lot of people are saying Caleb Williams at the 101. If you take Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101 in a super flex league, I'm going to look at your draft and go, I get it. That's how good I think this guy is. Just like this class to me is the same as last year when people were having Anthony Richardson and Bijan Robinson discussion. The Marvin Harrison and Caleb Williams discussion is the same thing, in my opinion. No problem not taking the quarterback here. I love this guy. I cannot wait to see him on an NFL field. Just hated that he went to Ohio State because I'm a Penn State fan.
No, I love that, man. That's really a comprehensive analysis for a guy that we've not spoke about on the show yet. I think, first of all, great disclaimer at the start about landing spot. That was a New England Patriots homage there, I feel. And yes, I am old enough to remember Marvin Harrison Sr.
He was so good. It's just his route running and his technical ability was so good. I don't think I've ever seen Marvin Harrison Sr. or heard about him running a route incorrectly. He was always where he needed to be.
Praying Devontae Smith goes on that trajectory.
I mean, so far, and I know that, you know, people are disappointed by Devonta Smith's career so far. But the fact of the matter is he was a top 10 wide receiver once, and that's with AJ Brown there. We have Kellen Moore coming to town. Devontae Smith gives you a solid floor. He's a bye player for me right now. I know people are still hanging on. I don't know why people don't like him. He's going to get a contract extension. He'll likely retire an Eagle. If I had to pick Devonta Smith or AJ Brown retiring an Eagle, the likelihood is Devonta Smith because they like their draft picks. The locker room loves him. The city loves him. And if he's a top end wide receiver two for you, is that a bad thing? I mean, is it really? You know, people get here's the problem with dynasty fantasy football. We think we're so damn smart. We want every player we draft to be a starting caliber player. We want every player we draft to be a number one at their position. That just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But I mean, if you spend a first round pick on a guy like Devonta Smith and he's getting you 11 points a game for his entire career, and you know you could plug that in week out, come on, you're not going to hate that, right? Yeah. He's going to get 1,000 yards a year. He could get up to 10 touchdowns. It's a great floor player. Love Devonta Smith.
I just love how we said at the start we're gonna try and keep it not Eagles, and we've gone Eagles straight away first.
We lied.
We love it as well. We absolutely love it. I think, Marvin Harrison Sr. was fantastic. Marvin Harrison Jr., a lot of people are thinking he's going to be as good, if not better, which is it's such a tough trajectory, I feel. In terms of the value, you're absolutely right that if people are placing him top five or six in startup rankings, he's got to be in for a shout as the first guy off the board in your rookie drafts, just working it backwards that way. Not many holes at all. Like, I've got neighbors slightly ahead of him, but the same tier. There's just so much to like. There's literally, I've seen the tape, I've seen the analytics. I can't pick any real fault that I'm super concerned with. Maybe a low production in his third final season might be the only thing, but we just know the QB play there was pretty atrocious.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Ohio State. So, it wasn't great. Yeah, just a really slow prospect. And yeah, he's guaranteed, I think, to be a top two, top three pick in rookie drafts. And I think the only thing stopping him is if he goes to New England and the casuals sort of see New England and get worried about it. But if that happens, it's not going to be putting me off a guy like Marvin Harrison. Slight concerns I've mentioned before about the name and the college. It's going to push up his value, his name as such. But I think that's also good in a way that he's got this profile. So even if he has a slow start, we've seen with JSN, if there's any concerns and you're able to move off at a similar value in a year, if you want to, I think it's going to be well within your range of outcomes. So super solid, and fully in agreement with you that he's even the shout as the 101 in your rookie drafts. So we now want to come on to a guy who I've got as my rookie wide receiver one, but it's only by a whisker. And we spoke about this guy before, but really intrigued to your thoughts on Malik Nabers.
I love Malik Nabers. And the fact is, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., the consensus, I'd say most people think wide receiver one in this class. But yeah, if Marvin Harrison Jr. was not in this class, Malik Nabers would be the wide receiver one. And it's probably by a pretty far margin for me personally. Another guy who excels as a route runner, fantastic hands. And what I like the most about Malik Nabers, and where I think he could be most effective in the NFL, he is so slippery after the catch. And it's being able to have a quick cut and avoid a tackle. And then just his ability to shrug off defenders is so uncanny. I love everything about his game. I loved watching the game film. It was fantastic. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, when he won that Heisman, he should have been rewarding Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. So somehow, because these guys really, really brought it together for his, of course, he did the work, but he had fantastic wide receivers to throw it to. You wouldn't have won the Heisman if you played at Penn State, Jaden Daniels, not with that wide receiver core. I'm allowed to say that as a Penn State fan, but there is nothing that he can't do. Sorry, I was on a different page here. I wanted to bring up my Malik Nabers scouting card. Another guy where I'm looking my scouting card. The only knock I have on him, he's not as physical as a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., but really, it's still, my grade for him is not bad at all. They're graded pretty close. These two guys, great long speeds. And like I mentioned, slippery after the catch. To me, you could play him all over the field. I would actually love to see him flip between an outside and slot receiver, because I think of his ability to catch and track traffic. Slippery after the catch, he could really open things up for a quarterback in the middle of the field. And again, great hands, just fantastic hands.
I don't know why when you say great, I thought you was going to say great hair then. I was like, wow, that's a lovely compliment. But yeah, obviously, Nabers is a guy that we all love here at the Fantasy Wildcard. I think it's going to be really interesting. You mentioned on Harrison about landing spot proof at Nabers. I'm more intrigued. Like, if he goes to the Giants, I've got a little bit more pause there. Okay.
Now, I'm glad you said that. I want to bring something up here. I'm going to tell you why. Because let's not forget, just 2 years ago in 2022, Daniel Jones had quite a good season, both for the Giants and for fantasy. Yeah. He was only 9-6-1. So that's good for the Giants. And he played in 16 games, 3,205 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. So if Daniel Jones does that again with the wide receiver core that they have, and Malik Nabers went there, there is no reason whatsoever to think that Malik Nabers couldn't walk away with 1,000 yards and 4 to 6 touchdowns as a rookie in that same offense, that same offense that brought Josh Allen to relevancy. Daniel Jones, a career year. He hasn't done anything since he's been injured, but still, he's another guy. I'm not worried about landing spot, and I understand why you would have a little bit more pause. But Kev, all that does is drive him down the draft board a little bit more, which means you get better value. So other people's pause can just be you scooping up that value. I love where your head's at, but I have to slightly disagree with you.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a no-brainer that I'm not going to be moving out of that tier dependent on landing spot. Like, if he did end up with the Giants, it just means I'm probably going to end up with more of him.
Yeah.
Because I think you could easily get him at pick 5 now. If there's quarterback heavy room in your draft room, then there's a chance to get him at 5. If McCarthy goes top 5 as well, and there's more QB needy teams, you could get him at pick 6, which is unbelievable. Considering, yeah, like I said at the start, about if Harrison wasn't in the class, he'd be the clear number one. So
it's, I love that. It's not even close. I think he's far, and there's other guys in this class I like. But they do have some deficiencies in their game, and we'll get there. What I think they are then, but I love Malik Nabers, man. Watching him play was just so much fun.
Such a good player, such a good dude. We're gonna move on now to our next guy. Who, if you're listening to our rewind show, I think last week or a couple of weeks back, we had Jordan from the Devy team here, and he's a big Roma Dunze fan. So if you've heard of the name, you've heard it plenty of times on the Wildcard. Roma Dunze.
I'm a Roma Dunze fan as well. And there's really not anybody who's looking at this sheet. There's one guy I don't like that much. We'll get there. But look, Roma Dunze, very physical, strong hands, good in traffic, great at the catch point. I do have some concerns, however. And, well, one of my concerns won't be his problem anymore, in which he won't have to play with Michael Penix anymore. I'm sorry, not to doo-doo on Michael Penix, but he was the reason that they lost that championship game, not Roma Dunze. You remember the one pass, Roma Dunze, he tried, he stretched out for it the best he could. The ball was not in the right spot, and it was overthrown. Rome cut right. He probably ran the right route. The ball was left, and it was just not in the right direction. That was Penix's fault, which shows me as well that Penix is not great under pressure. I have two concerns about Roma Dunze, and there are things that can be coached out of him or with more time working with NFL coaches, you know, he could just, and being around other wide receivers. One, I thought that he had an average release off the line of scrimmage, not a huge detriment depending on how he's used. And number two, I didn't think his separation was that great, but he makes up for it with ball tracking, body control, physicality at the catch point, and just his ability to, you know, go up, high point, get the ball. So these are things that can be coached out of him. And we heard about him at the draft, or I'm sorry, at the combine, wanted to get his three cone to 6.6 seconds or something like that. So I think he's willing to put that work in, and he's going to be someone who's receiving of coachings. So I still have him, you know, the order that you have these guys in the sheet so far is the order that I have them in. I like Roma Dunze. Might be a little bit more landing spot dependent than Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison. But I think he could be a wide receiver one in an offense too, given the right opportunity.
Yeah, I like the everything you said. That's absolutely spot on. I'm in full agreement with you on a Dunze there. I think, just with the show sheet, I think that's an ADP. Where I got it from, but seems to go in them in a pretty fair order, I think. And like the order's gone so far, he's my wide receiver 3. In a tier of his own, I would say in my rankings, just where he's going to go in the NFL draft is probably going to be in a tier of his own as well. I feel I'm not sure he's going to be top 6 or 7 like people are saying, but hey, who knows? If it goes QB, 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 wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, then yeah, that's amazing for dynasty players to get all that out of the way nice and early and get your landing spots and your draft capital all sorted. But just back to Odunze, I think what he's done in his college career, it's really strong. I think, yeah, he's kind of a 1B sort of guy for me. Like, I think true high ceiling guy, I'm not quite there with, but I think someone that's a solid contributor, maybe like and they're totally different players, but just thinking Jordan Addison type in terms of dynasty value, I could see him in that wide receiver two range, yeah, sort of at the high end or the low end, depending on sort of how things go. But not too much to add really on what you've brought to the table on Odunze.
You know, I know that I saw a couple of mocks of him going to the Patriots. People were like, oh, that's a terrible landing spot. Jacoby Brissett would be the quarterback there. And Jacoby Brissett started 48 games in his career. Doesn't have a winning record, unfortunately for him, but he's also been put into some pretty hairy situations. But let's go back to 2017. I know this is a while ago. 3,098 yards as a second-year player, by the way. Mm-hmm. 13 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So, you know, now he's going to be 32 years old. I mean, he got a career 61.3 completion percentage. You could do worse for a young wide receiver in fantasy than Jacoby Brissett, to be perfectly honest with you. Could be the Raiders if Aiden O'Connell's a starter. You know, maybe he was flashing the pan as a first year. I think he was UDFA, if I remember correctly. It was a long time ago. But you could do a lot worse. So, yeah, I don't hate the Patriots landing spot as much as other people.
And that's the thing, landing spots change, don't they, in time. We've got a new coaching staff there, so let's give it a cleaner slate than maybe it has been in the past with Belichick there. So, yeah, we're going to come on to a guy now, which I think he's such an interesting guy because people are really off on him. And he's had plenty of talk on our shows over the past couple of weeks, but I think it's really, really important that we get your take on him as well, Mike, because you're a smart dude. You're a Philly fan. What's your thoughts on Brian Thomas Jr., mate?
Like Brian Thomas. And in case anyone's wondering, Brian Thomas didn't start playing football until he was in 10th grade. So really, he's raw. And there are certain aspects of his game where it shows. I thought his route running was a little bit inconsistent, and his yak ability was inconsistent as well. And that's just, you know, he needs those reps, the repetitions of, hey, run through that defender. He's a little bit lanky. You know, he's not the most physical wide receiver overall. However, body control and NFL style catches, I want to see where he goes. Great sticky hands. And I'm watching. I always I don't mute the commentary when I watch these cutups. But, you know, you hear guys say, like, that was an NFL catch. We're talking double toe taps in the back of the end zone, making sure both feet are in bounds on the sidelines. I mean, he's definitely not a complete product. And I think there's a possibility that he doesn't get first round draft capital in the NFL draft. And that's okay. If he goes somewhere where he's not expected to be the guy right away, like if he goes to Denver, maybe learn behind Cortland Sutton for a little bit. Cortland Sutton, everyone wants to sell him. He's been pretty productive too. But if he could learn behind someone how to be a pro, not have to save an organization, like, I don't want him to go somewhere where he's expected to be the guy off the rip, the Giants, the Patriots. That would be a bad landing spot for him. I want him to learn from an experienced wide receiver. What about the Rams for Brian Thomas Jr.? Imagine learning from Cooper Kupp. You got Puka Nacua there. Cooper Kupp leaves, and then it's Puka Nacua and Brian Thomas Jr. are two starting wideouts.
Wow.
That would be pretty sick. But I like this guy. Big. Needs to be a little bit more physical. A little bit more consistent with his route running, and we're going to be good to go then. But good separation, though. I will say that. There's a lot of times I saw him just wide open. It's kind of like Jatavion Sanders, the tight end. A lot of times I'm like, why are you not covering this guy? Do you think he's not going to catch it?
Yeah, he's got that invisibility cloak, and has it, I guess. I think Brian Thomas Jr., like, before he's been ill tonight, Ali was meant to be on this player. And I think Ali would love to bring up the fact that Brian Thomas is his clear wide receiver 4 in the class.
Okay.
I'm not there with it. Like, I can see the ceiling. I just feel there's a little bit more risk there. He's my wide receiver 6 is in the same tier as guys I've got 4 and 5 in New Worthy, Andy Franklin, who will come on to in a bit. But I just feel with Thomas, there's just a few signs there which give me a little bit of pause. How good that last year was compared to his first 2 seasons where he had like 30-odd catches in both of those. Maybe it's a little bit about what he said. He was late to the game in terms of playing football. And yeah, it does take time, obviously, if you've never played it before. I think draft capital is going to be interesting. I've seen mocks where he's been going mid-round 1. It's if he fell to round 2, that I think that would be a bit of a concern for me. I think he could be what we wanted Quentin Johnson to be. Now, I'm not saying the same. He's got a lot better hands.
I don't disagree with that. Actually, that's a good point. What do we want Quentin Johnson to be? Competent would be nice, right?
Yes. I still believe. Maybe not, but
yeah.
I think he's got an interesting profile. I've brought it up before that he's high catch rate, great deep. You don't tend to see that quite often. So yeah, lots of tools there, but he's going to be one of these players where landing spot is massive. Like if he's meant to be the main man from day 1, I would have a little bit of pause and that could potentially break him. So I think it's a great shout with landing in those 2 spots you mentioned, either with someone like Sutton or a Kupter. So it's not all on him to begin with. Like if he ends up in Buffalo, people are going to love it, but I'm not so sure that works straight away.
Yeah, because you have Curtis Samuel there. They're just 2 very different receivers, in my opinion. I don't know. And I mean, you look at the Buffalo Bills depth chart right now. So in case anyone's wondering, the NFL is not required to, or the teams are not required to update their, their depth charts throughout the season, I think, until the last week of preseason. So there's a website called ourlads.com.
Yeah.
Great for both the NFL and NCAA depth charts. But I mean, oh God, oof. They got Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, who's a buy for me as well. Justin Shorter is their starting left wide receiver. Mac Hollins, Andy Isabella, he's back.
Wow.
I didn't know he was still in the NFL. So, yeah, I would not like them to draft Brian Thomas Jr. So,
yeah.
By Dalton Kincaid. That's all I have to say.
Oh, if Mags was here now, he'd be absolutely top of Bioff. He'd be swinging it around his head. He's, I think he said by the end of this season, Dalton Kincaid, tight end winning dynasty. We'll have to see.
Sam Laporta would like to have a word. And I like Dalton Kincaid. I was higher on Sam Laporta. I think they both – I mean, the possibility is this could be the next Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce situation with those 2 guys, really.
And that would be fantastic if you own any of those chaps.
Yeah.
We're now going to move on to an interesting guy, a little bit like Thomas. I've seen this player ranked in many different spots, as high as top 3, but as low as sort of 9, 10 in people's rankings. What's your thoughts on Xavier Worthy?
I like Xavier Worthy. Very fast. I have some questions about his hands. Did have 15 drops in his 3-year career at Texas there. He is not by any means a complete player. All right. He's got some inconsistent separation I saw, but he's great after the catch when he catches it. Pretty good against tight coverage. Doesn't always adjust well for the ball being in the air, although I will say Quinn Ewers does have kind of an odd throwing motion. Doesn't always put it where it needs to be. The more I watch Quinn Ewers play, the more I become concerned, to be completely honest with you. Pretty good play strength and good ability to brush off defenders. So I can see the raw athleticism that would make people want to put him in the top 3. But for me, I'm going to put these proven guys, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, guys that have put up the numbers that just can come and step onto a football field day 1 and be productive. Xavier Worthy, again, like Brian Thomas Jr. should not go anywhere where he's expected to be the guy. Can he be a contributor? Yes, for sure. And maybe he could be what we thought Kadarius Toney could be. You know, you said about Brian Thomas possibly being what we thought Quentin Johnston could be. But I like him, but beware. Don't overdraft Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I think that's solid advice. And one thing I would say about Worthy, which, yeah, I've seen him draft at various places, but people don't seem to think he's as volatile as I actually think he is. Like, he is my wide receiver four in the class.
Okay.
But I'm very aware that there's lots of things in his profile analytically that are scary, like the yards per out run and the PFF grades and stuff like that, which I think could be better. I think with him breaking out early and the production early on, that's a really good indicator that maybe there is excuses with Ewers, who seems to be probably the most overhyped QB in college football. And I don't watch a ton of college football, if I'm honest, apart from sort of the rookie prospects, but there's been a lot of bad things said about Ewers, which I think is fair. Yeah, the size doesn't put me off, actually, Worthy. I think the NFL's changing. I think if you're smart enough, you can scheme him, but in his own right, he's talented to make an impact. But yeah, it's with the caveat, he could be a bust. He could be fantastic as well.
Yeah, and I hopefully he's like closer to fantastic than a bust.
If you're spending a late first on him, then it's you're hoping for the best. But yeah, but then again, end of the first, like, they take a shot on a guy like Thomas or Worthy, which have got potential ceilings, or are you going to be going for the first running back, be the first one to show their hand? I'm not. I'm going to take a punt on wide receiver rather than be the first person to go for.
I mean, if it's a tight end premium, that might be a spot where I'm drafting Jatavion Sanders, to be perfectly honest with you. But if I'm choosing there, I mean, if it's the 112 and Jonathan Brooks goes to the Cowboys and it's between Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, or Jonathan Brooks, I might lean Jonathan Brooks. So, you know, in the case, in the toss-up between those two guys, it's probably going to go landing spot for me. Landing spot and draft capital is how I would decide that, honestly.
I think the Cowboys at running back, like the Chiefs at wide receiver, aren't they? Like,
yeah. I mean, the difference is the Cowboys have done nothing. And they need wide receivers, too. All they really have is CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert, I guess. I don't know.
It's a tough one. Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah. Now, I'm getting a little bit worried, Mike, because there's three wide receivers we're going to talk about. And you said there's one of these that you're not as big a fan of.
Yes.
Could it be the next guy, Ladd McConkey?
It certainly is, Ladd McConkey. Where are we basing this? I mean, what has Ladd McConkey done? He has 1,687 career yards and 14 touchdowns. He's really good at missing time because of a back injury. Georgia has not had the best wide receiver play, and this guy couldn't get on the field. What are we doing here? Beware the late risers in the game. Why are they a late riser? You know what I mean? What has he done? Oh, well, he runs this route well. That's all and fine. But the best ability is availability. You know that. We all know that.
Yeah.
He had that back injury that lingered throughout college. Let me bring my scouting report back up. That said, he does have some physical attributes that I like. Good ball tracking, pretty good hands. Contested catch was okay. Yak, inconsistent. Kind of versatile, gets lined up everywhere. Not as physical as I'd like him to be, though. He's 6 foot. I just want buyer to beware. The great thing about guys like this in the class is he pushes other better players back. There's going to be a ton of hype. He's going to get a great landing spot. He's going to probably get decent draft capital. And all fanboys are going to go crazy. And you know what? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But this is a thing that could take you 2 or 3 years to really be wrong. You got other guys that we'll be talking about that I think they could be more productive right off the rip.
I love this. It's all coming into place to me now. Like, Ali's unwell tonight. And it's because he's a Ladd McConkey fan. He must have got intel that he was going to come on and smash him.
If you've listened to my podcast, you know I'm not the biggest fan. And it's not that I don't like the guy. It's just which tell me where I need to be looking to find out that I'm wrong. That's what I want to know. When I turn the film on, I'm like, okay, he's fine. But I didn't see anything that made me go, wow.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, first things first, like, any when you get a white wide receiver and you see the comps, it's like, oh, it's Cooper Kupp, it's Hunter Renfro. It's like, yeah, because he's white. Like, we get
I know, it's terrible. It's like, and I saw a tweet, an X, whatever they call him, and it was about Ricky Pearsall, who I do not like. Yeah. My comp for him was Tyquan Thornton. That's how much I hated Ricky Pearsall. And it's like, when I see a white dude that has a half sleeve on his arm and on his other leg, I know that dude could play. And I'm like, all right, that's enough social media for me today. I'm done. I'm like, that has no context whatsoever. Ricky Pearsall sucked at Arizona State. He wasn't that much better at Florida either. What are we doing here? And I hate the lazy comps. Like, oh, he's a white wide receiver. Here's a list of white wide receivers that he plays like. I'll give you an example. Malachi Corley. Everyone's like, he's the next Debo Samuel. Oh, blah, blah, blah. No, I think his game more probably closely correlates to like Tyler Lockett at the next level as far as production goes. So I'm tired of these lazy comps. Stop it. Be better, people. And stop helmet scouting too.
Yeah, I think with McConkey, like, I'm in agreement with you. Like, he's my wide receiver 11. I'm not going to have a ton of him for that reason because I think people have got him a lot higher.
Yeah.
It seems to be this time of off-season, people watch the film, tell me how good a route runner he is. And yeah, I'm just not there. He didn't have a breakout age in college, so it's really difficult to pin anything to McConkey. And I think, what are you hoping for with him? Like, if it hits, what's his ceiling? Is it wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 in your dynasty leagues? Like, personally, when it gets to round 2, I think in your rookie drafts, it does become a bit of a mess. I want to go for someone that's got a bit of upside. And because if it hits, that's going to actually make a difference to my team rather than if McConkey hits, great, I've got a nice like sort of flex guy that's... And I've taken a lot of risk by making that pick. You're probably better off shooting for some of these guys that we're going to come on to in a little bit. Or, like I say, take a shot on a running back, which we know that it might only be a 1 or 2 year thing, but you'll have opportunities to take them in the second, sell them for a first if they hit.
Yeah, I'll probably draft Trey Benson over Ladd McConkey, to be honest with you.
I'd be shocked if Ladd McConkey's in the first round of rookie drafts. Like, if that happens, I need to be in that person's league in every league because
it wouldn't surprise me to see him get drafted at the 112 in some leagues. It really wouldn't surprise me at all at this point.
And I don't know if it is just the film scouting and the hype of what's seen on film, but I just know I'm more analytical, and from the numbers prop side of things, it just doesn't stack up with that production. And
I get it.
Some great points. Right, I'm hoping we're going to be in agreement on this one as well. I've got my boy Troy Franklin.
Well, let's see if I can find my Troy Franklin scouting report. There he is. Hey, good news. And I remember, I'm a fan of Troy Franklin. I've been pounding the drum for Troy Franklin for a long time. I'll take Troy Franklin over Ladd McConkey any day of the week. Top end speed, ball tracking, and my favorite thing about Troy Franklin, late hands. He doesn't give anything away to the defensive backs. That is such an NFL wide receiver move. This dude is polished. Love him. We just don't pay attention because he plays on the other side of the country. No one cares about the West Coast on the Eastern Seaboard. We don't care what they're doing, except they're funneling everyone out of California and driving everyone's taxes up. Stop it, California. That being said, my only concern, he is not the best contested catch guy, but that's okay. His separation is good enough and his long speed is good enough where it's not a huge issue. It does have to be worked on. And his catch in traffic isn't the best. My concern is that somebody tries to make him into a one-trick pony in the NFL, kind of like what Jameson Williams has turned out to be so far. That's my concern. That's not a Troy Franklin problem. That's a coaching deficiency problem. But I think he could be used in a multitude of ways. He's fast, great hands, quick off the line, and smooth as well. No jerky motions. And you know what? I love his ability to shrug guys off after the catch. He's nimble. He's got great lateral agility. I love Troy Franklin. I do have him graded higher than Ladd McConkey as well. I actually have him graded. He's my wide receiver 3 in the class, honestly. I have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and then it is Troy Franklin, and I have Roma Dunze and Brian Thomas Jr. graded the same. So I've been a pretty big Troy Franklin fan for a pretty long time. And the best part about him, his value is like the back end of the first round right now. I love it. Give me more.
Yeah, I think Franklin fans were just absolutely loving the fact of the gauntlet drill at the combine where, yeah, it did look like he was running with beer goggles on, like I mentioned before, but he's a guy that there is some minor concerns. Like, I think beating press in the NFL is going to be different to playing in the Pac-12. I think, yeah, contested catches, it's difficult and it could be better. Like you say, catching the ball in traffic, but a lot of things I like that he's a separator. I think he had a lot of success with different routes. So I don't think he's a one trick pony. I think Jameson Williams is a great comp. Like, just the way that the similar body shape, and for that reason, I think he's someone that is more landing spot dependent for me.
I do agree with players. That. Yeah.
I don't think he can ever be a true number one, but
probably not. No,
I just think, yeah, get him in a good spot. I don't know why, but I quite like the Steelers, even with Arthur Smith. Just I think someone that's, you've got Pickens on the other side, who's going to be sort of your main X, your guy on the line of scrimmage. I think Franklin, get him at the Z, and
yeah.
Hopefully, Arthur Smith's out of town by the time Franklin's really hit.
You know, two things can be true, and one that you could be a good offensive coordinator and a bad head coach. Yeah. I think that's the case for Arthur Smith. We saw the Titans' offense be extremely competent when he was the offensive coordinator. I mean, the example I always give is Jim Schwartz, multiple stops as a defensive coordinator, always put a good defense together, wasn't a good head coach. Those things happen. So I'm actually not worried about Arthur Smith as an OC. A lot of Steelers players are buys for me right now, like Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, guys like that. Guys that people are down on because of Arthur Smith, I'll take them.
I love that. We also got another Philly Eagles reference in then, the defensive coordinator of the Super Bowl champs. So
you said it, not me. I just said he was a good defensive coordinator and a bad head coach.
Love that. Yeah, it's a shame it's, what, 6-7 years ago now, but
it's been a while.
We can keep talking about it, no doubt.
Yeah.
Good stuff, yeah. So, Franklin, glad that you're high on him. Wide receiver 3 is higher than me, but I feel as well like I don't see a ton of risk in his profile. I think guys like Adunze, Thomas, Worthy all have a wider range of outcomes in my view. So, I really like Franklin. I do think he has some ceiling in his game still, but not as a wide variety as those other guys. Hence why he's my wide receiver 5, but with upside, if he gets that perfect landing spot or better draft capital than expected, because I think he's probably a second rounder in real life. If he ends up sneaking into the first, I might be there with you. He might be my top 3 or 4, no doubt. Right, we're going to come on to the last wide receiver prospect of tonight's show. And we're going to come to a guy that had a little bit of a mention earlier on in Malachi Corley.
I love Malachi Corley. This is another guy that I'm a big fan of. I believe I have him graded out the highest of the entire Rewind crew. And I was right. I do. Not by much. Nate's kind of in the same boat as I am with him. Good long speed. Great hands. Great in the middle of the field, but he could run pretty much any route. Great after the catch as well. A very, very physical player. He plays bigger than his size. I love Malachi Corley. I could see him being a productive wide receiver three on a team that you want on your fantasy team, a la a Tyler Boyd. Not saying that their play styles are the same, but Tyler Boyd was the wide receiver 3, still productive with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins there. I could see the same thing for Malachi Corley. There's, and let's see, I'm looking at it. It's just, it's pretty much he's just a steady guy throughout looking at my grading of him. I didn't see anything that really stood out excessively, but there was not anything that I could really knock either. And sometimes these guys are just really good professional football players. They don't do anything wrong. They don't do anything crazy, but they always keep you in the game in the NFL and in the fantasy too. And that's what I like about a player like this. But for me, it's just it's after the catch. It's the physicality. It's the catch in traffic that really I think he's probably like a third or fourth round pick, but a productive one.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy. I'm going to let myself down here a little bit because, yeah, I do see a little bit of Deepo in his game. I don't think it's wise to think he's going to be Deepo because I think that's the high end. And I think Deebo was a bit of an outlier himself based on sort of the college profile and what he's panned out to be in that role. So, yeah, I think Corley is landing spot dependent more than most with the fact that...
I agree.
I mean, the size of him and how he plays, he could be used as a third down running back in some schemes if you want to get really creative, but a little bit like Deebo. He's going to give you some upside as a runner if you want him to on these jet sweeps, etc. But, yeah, I think... Really interesting guy, played against a low level of competition and didn't massively light it up, but I think there's so much upside there in terms of the raw tools and what it can be. It's just have your expectations. Where you're going to be taking him in your rookie drafts, it's probably what, late round two. And just don't be expecting when you're taking Corley that in the late second that you're going to be getting a top 36 wide receiver. You're going to get, like you said, potentially a Tyler Boyd type, someone that's great on bye weeks, someone that if Corley's the third guy on a team and wide receiver two goes down, he's going to have more looks that way. I think he could be a contributor like that as well. But definitely one of the more interesting guys I'll be looking out for on day two in real life.
For sure.
Hopefully it's not Cordarrelle Patterson.
Don't do that to me.
Good stuff. So that's got us through the main part of the show with the wide receiver prospects. Before we get on to the fantasy wildcard selection, which everybody's dying to hear who you've picked, we're going to just want to get your thoughts on like a few of the players which we haven't spoke about yet. And I just wanted to pick one guy who you think is going to do really well that we haven't spoke about on the show so far, first of all.
Sure. For me, it's Jake Ferguson.
Whoa.
Sorry, we're not there yet. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I could. Can we edit that out? Let's edit that out.
Let's edit out the stream. Yeah, just from the rookie wide receivers. Someone
I got excited.
It's okay.
All right. Hold on. Let me go back here. So let's see. Oh, best hands in the class, Jalen Polk from Washington, by far and away.
Oh.
Devontae Walker, I think he's a good project at the next level. I could see him going in the third. Don't draft Keon Coleman. Just whatever. I don't know. He's kind of a one-trick pony. He doesn't do that trick very well. We talked about Malik Washington briefly, more so before the show. Could be a really good sleeper if he gets into a good situation. He's small. He's 5'8 and a half, 191. But my God, does he play like he's 6'4 and 230 pounds. So good. Brendan Rice needs to be discussed. Another nepotism baby here, but still not as good as his dad, unlike Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. could be better than his dad. Brendan Rice, I think he'd be a solid player. He could probably beat some guys out at the next level for a spot. Beware of Luke McCaffrey. He was a quarterback. He went to Nebraska as a quarterback. He transitioned to a wide receiver. He spent his last 2 years at Rice as a wide receiver. So he's still raw. He's still learning the position. He tested well at the combine, but I'm just kind of – I'm being careful with that. If you get him in the fifth round or as a free agent, fine. Let's see here. Javon Baker is my dude. I love Javon Baker out of UCF. No, I'm not concerned that he transferred down from an SEC school to UCF. He got a chance to play. He wouldn't have gotten a chance to play. I believe he's at Alabama. Kobe Hudson, his teammate, I believe went to Georgia and then transferred to UCF. So look out for Kobe Hudson next year. I like him too. But Javon Baker, man, this guy can do everything. He's fast, great hands, good down the field. Don't draft Anaya Smith. I think he is a special teams player in the NFL, to be honest with you. And with the kickoffs coming back, teams will start to have elevated draft capital for special teams player. So beware of that, okay? That's something to think about moving forward from this year. Let's see who else we got here. Johnny Wilson from Florida State. If he converts to tight end, maybe I'll be interested.
Yeah, I agree.
Awkward runner. Just so awkward. There's a guy who I was told to look into. His name is Bub Means from Pittsburgh. Curious to see what he brings to the table. Also, Xavier Leggett. If he gets good draft capital, I'm interested. Late breakout, but still. Yeah. I'm curious about where he goes.
Yeah, he nearly made the show tonight, didn't he? But
he was close. He was close.
Coley got the nod, I think. So, yeah, I think like the main one for me was Malik Washington that we spoke about earlier, but I'm also a Devon Baker fan. Like, yeah, he's predicted to be round four, but if the buzz is real in the community, it could be a day two guy, late day two, which would be.
I mean, I would be interested to see where he goes, or I am interested. I just feel like he's a guy, and maybe he won't be a contributor right away. He's probably a guy who, if he gets late day two draft capital, he doesn't do anything right away. People are going to try to sell him, like, I'm done with this guy. He sucks, whatever. Then he's a massive buy for me. Come in, have a good second year. Another guy too, Jalen McMillan from Washington. I think he's a good NFL slot wide receiver. Needs to be a little bit more physical after the catch. Doesn't run through contact very well. But, man, Washington had a good wide receiver core this year.
Yeah. It's, maybe that's something to bear in mind for Michael Penix, eh?
I don't know. I'm out on Michael Penix, to be honest. I'm just out on him.
Love it. Good stuff, Mike. So we're now going to come on to the fantasy wild card selection. We're going to get Mike to pick his fantasy wild card, the now player who will improve his dynasty value the most in 2024. If you've been listening, you might know the answer to this already, but if not, get ready for the big one. Who's your fantasy wild card, Mike?
First of all, my apologies. I jumped the gun there, but it is Jake Ferguson from the Dallas Cowboys. Me talking about the Cowboys.
I know. So funny this.
They haven't done much this offseason, like at all. I think they signed Eric Kendricks. I'm looking at their free agent signings. Like, so our lads have, if they're in the aqua color from the regular blue, that means that that's a free agent signing. They have one.
Wow.
That's it. Cut Michael Gallup. They let Stephon Gilmore walk. They let some other guys walk. It's like, what are we doing here? So even if they bring in a rookie wide receiver, they got Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Cooks. Ooh, hey, Martavis Bryant. Welcome, Martavis Bryant. Welcome back to the NFL, I guess. But it's a lot of trash out there. And I like Jake Ferguson a lot. And you should too. He was tight end 9 last year, 71 catches, 761 yards, 5 touchdowns. He averaged 10.4 fantasy points per game. That's pretty good to put into your tight end spot, because not everybody can have, look, if there's 12 teams in your league, it might be hard for you to get a tight end one, because sometimes people have 2 tight end ones on their team. They traded for them, they drafted well, whatever. Also, Taysom Hill as a tight end just irritates the crap out of me so bad, because he was tight end 12 last year. How can we get rid of this guy from the tight end rankings? Because Kyle Pitts should have been tight end 12, not Taysom Hill.
I know, it's so close.
That being said, he's affordable. He was, I meant to have Keep Trade Cut. Do you guys like to use Keep Trade Cut, or what do you use for your
Keep Trade Cut? Yeah.
A lot of people bash Keep Trade Cut, but I actually kind of like it because it's crowdsourced. So it's the people that you're playing against, and that's important because you need to know what your opposition is thinking to make moves. So, like I said, he was tight end 9 last year. He's tight end 12 on Keep Trade Cut right now. So he's a player 123 overall. So I love to see what players these guys are around. Go away, you stupid graph. He's around players right now such as Romeo Dubs. I'll take Jake Ferguson over Romeo Dubs. Bo Nix, somehow. A 2025 early second and a 2024 mid second. So if you could get Jake Ferguson for any of those picks, you have a starting caliber tight end. You have a guy. And don't forget, you can flex tight ends. If you have another good tight end, like if you had, I don't know, Trey McBride, and you trade for Jake Ferguson, start both of those guys out there. You know, you're going to need guys in your flex spot. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be bye weeks. Sometimes a starting tight end is better than a wide receiver three on a team or somebody that you pulled off the scrap heap known as the waiver wire. So I'm all in. Also, another buy for me right now is Jonnu Smith going to Miami. I think he could have a pretty good season down there.
Yeah, I think, I was shocked when he picked the Cowboys guy, if I'm honest, Mike. That was a that was a tough one, especially when we're both the Eagles fans.
If you, I know. It's hard. I really try to put my bias aside when I play fantasy. Same. I try my hardest.
No, I think it's a way you can get an edge in Dynasty as well by being open-minded and realizing that it's a game, and it doesn't matter who you support. If you're going to get value, you get value. I think Ferguson is an interesting one. The fact that he reminded me a little bit of Schultz, where when Schultz made his breakout, everyone was on Jarwin. And then this offseason, obviously, or last offseason, sorry, they drafted Schoonmaker and people liked Hendershot a little bit. And Ferguson was the one that rose from that group and stood out. I think he's a little bit like a Schultz, if I'm honest, someone that is in the right place at the right time to get that value bump. Talent wise, I don't think there's a lot there, but at the moment we're banking this on situation. Whatever can happen in the draft, I don't think it affects him too much this season. If he had the perfect 2024, how high do you think he could actually rise in tight end rankings?
So that's kind of hard to say, but I like to look at what's ahead of him. And, you know, Sam Laporta was tight end one last year. Evan Engram, I could see him not being tight end two again. He had 963 yards. I just could see it not happening again. Travis Kelce could push to be tight end one again. You never know. Hawk is up there. Kittle could come down to earth. He's never really had, like, back-to-back years where he's super productive. David Njoku at tight end six. Did anyone see that coming at all?
Love Njoku.
I mean, I love the guy, but I didn't. I mean, if you said top 10, I would have said, okay, yeah, probably like 9 or 10, but not 6. I could see Trey McBride coming up. I could see Cole Kmet coming down. So I could see Jake Ferguson realistically going as high as tight end 6 next year, and as low as like tight end 14. It's always possible because there's guys below him like Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, Dalton Kincaid, Kyle Pitts that could always come up. But then, of course, you know, there's always these guys shifting around too. So the 6 to 14 range is where I see him in, and that's more than good enough for me.
Indeed, and it's more than enough for me as well because we're going to bring tonight's show to an end where we've been discussing the incoming rookies at wide receiver. So, Mike, you've been an awesome guest. Before you go, please remind the audience where they can find you.
Sure.
Anything that you'd like to plug.
Yeah, you can find me on, I don't call it X, I call it Twitter, at Rewind CEO. Follow the show at Dynasty Rewind. We release podcasts. It was 3 times a week, so we're going down to 2 because we got to get the draft prep going. Going down to 2, the week of the draft is going to be 1 podcast. That's it. Because, you know, everything will be so outdated if we record early and then the draft comes along. And then after that, for the duration, we're going to back up to 2. Rookie draft guide is going to be coming out Sunday, the day after the draft, around 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Eastern time. We do our live stream. We'll put that live. Can't pre-order, but you could do a roster review. Payhip.com/Dynasty Rewind if you want to get your team looked at. That's what we got going on. Thank you for supporting us. Kev, thank you for having me on. Sorry about jumping the gun like that. Jake Ferguson, I was so excited to talk about the Cowboys. What can I say?
I can't believe it. Yeah, just... You've been an amazing guest tonight, Mike. We've had so much fun. I know I have, at least. We've kept the Eagles talk pretty limited, I think, to what it could have been. But
I think we did good. We did good.
We did really good. I think you've been an awesome guest in terms of some of the wide receivers we spoke about before. You've added more context to those guys as well. So it's going to really give the audience something to think about. And, yeah, some of the later guys you mentioned, Malik Washington, Javon Baker, I love them picks as well. So make sure you're following Mike on Twitter and everything that Dynasty Rewind are doing over there. It's fantastic stuff. And I can't wait to see the draft coverage, if I'm honest. You know, I'll be probably on limited sleep, but it's great time for us over in the UK and in Europe for that type of deal. So
well, don't worry, it'll be on the YouTube channel, so you can always go watch it later too if you don't catch it live. So the only thing that's cool about watching it live, really, you get to ask us questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it'll be up there. We take stuff down when it becomes irrelevant or if it's really, really old, but we don't take a ton of stuff down off our YouTube.
But yeah, you've been an awesome guest. So thanks for
coming
on the show tonight. It's just a shame that my other two co-hosts couldn't be bothered about coming on. Maybe they just knew it was going to be an Eagles show. So
yeah, fun. You're good.
Good stuff. So thank you very much to the audience for tuning in. Be sure to follow us and subscribe to us on X and YouTube at Fantasy Wildcard and at Wildcard Dynasty. We're here every Wednesday of the off-season for each of our new shows. Thank you once again. Have a good one. And we'll see you again very soon.
When you have the wild card, you have the power to change the game.